No, it's not a private center. Okay, there you go.
Hey, this is Charity from Lend for America.
I got a call this morning from the graduate school state director for the test. And,
hello?
But she had a contact with the national office.
It's Heidi.
Andrew Cole.
Hello, everyone.
It's us.
Just us, yes. Well, hopefully people start calling in. Susan, are you on?
Yes, can you hear me?
I can hear you, yes. And this is Shufina. I'm not sure who else has dialed in, but I do show a fair amount of participants who have logged in. So I'm going to do a little roll call just to see if people have... I know it's always a little confusing about logging in and then dialing in separately, but Carmen, are you on? Okay. And then I have Charity Euro? No? Okay. Charles Geely? Darla Donaldson?
Post in chat.
I'm
Are they
sorry?
All unmuted? Are they unmuted?
No, people should have dialed in.
Haven't muted everyone. Okay.
No.
Okay.
Patricia Rail.
Okay. So I'm sorry. Who was that? Oh, Patricia. Okay. I see you. And then Heidi.
Chuck Jimmy and Steve Mathis,
okay.
Physician Community Services.
Okay. Chuck is here. Is Darla Donaldson?
Yes.
Okay. Good. Hello. And Jesse Burnett the second. Are you on? Okay, I see you there. Jean Franklin? Okay, and then Patricia Rail is confirmed. Sara Razavi, are you on? Okay. And then Teresa Lemons? And Yamilet Gonzalez? Okay, so I guess it's taking people... a little bit of a little while to call in, and hopefully, if you're calling in now, I'm going to do another roll call. This is Shufina from Cameo. And just again, remember that, well, I guess you can't hear me if you're not calling in, but hopefully it's clear on our screen that, you know, the instructions to dial in for the audio and access code.
This is Charity.
Who is that?
Betsy Densmore.
Oh, hi, Betsy.
Hello.
This is Shufina at Cameo. Good.
How are you?
Good.
Hi, this is Robin, and Teresa will be entering in a few minutes from WSMA.
Oh, good. Excellent. Yeah, I saw Teresa on there, so.
I'm going to go ahead and put it on mute so you guys don't hear all my background stuff.
Okay. Robin, I am going to, you know, in just a minute or two, because I just show it's 2:01, I am going to go down the list again, and I'll just ask everybody to let us know where you're calling from and the name of your organization. But let's just wait a minute or two before we go through that. Is that okay, Susan?
Sure, although I think we could get started. I mean, just in terms of introductions.
I guess.
I think it might be okay. And then if people call in, we'll catch them up because this will take a while to get.
All right. Well, let's go down the line again. I mean, I was a little concerned because I didn't get that many responses, but let's try again. So Betsy is here. And Betsy, could you just give us your organization name and your city? Okay, Betsy was here, so let's try this again. Carmen, are you on? Carmen Herrera? Okay, And Charity, are you on? Charity Euro?
Yes, I am. And calling from Lend for America. We're based in Newark, but we have an office in San Francisco as well.
Okay. Good, thank you. Chuck Geely.
Yes, I'm here. I'm with Mission Community Services Women's Business Center in San Luis Obispo, Kern County, and Monterey County.
Thank you. Welcome. Chris Kahn.
Yes, I just arrived.
Would you let us know which org you're with and where you're located?
So, Chris Cotton, I'm with Joint Venture Monterey Bay. I'm located in the Monterey Bay Tri-County region, Santa Cruz, San Benito, and Monterey counties.
Okay, excellent. And Dan Johnson.
I'm on. I'm with USDA Rural Development down in Bakersfield.
Thank you for joining us today, Dan. Nice to hear from you. Darla Donaldson.
Yes, I'm here. I'm actually with California Baptist University in Riverside, California.
Yes, and you're one of our newer members, so thank you for joining us today. Jean Franklin? Okay. Jesse Burnett? Okay. I do know Jesse. He's from far north. He's from up in Mendocino County, so maybe he'll be logging in separately. Matt Crandall? Okay. Patricia Rail?
Yes, I'm here from the Downtown Development Authority of Blissfield, Michigan.
Oh, thank you for joining us from out of state. Robin Harwood.
Hi, I'm calling from the Washington State Microenterprise Association up in, obviously, Washington State.
Excellent. You're our sister organization, along with Teresa's. Is Teresa also on the line? For joining us?
I am. Hi, Shafina.
Hi, hello. Nice. Thank you for joining us. Nice to hear from you.
Mm-hmm.
Sara Razavi? Okay. I think Sara is from Working Solutions here in San Francisco, so hopefully she'll be joining us. And,
hi. Carmen.
Oh, Carmen. Okay, good. Thank you.
Hi.
Okay. And Yamilet Gonzalez?
Jesse Burnett.
Oh, there's Jesse. Okay, Jesse, we're asking people just if you could give us the name of your org and where you're calling from.
Sure. It's a resource for Native Development, and the acronym, we call it ARFUND.
Okay, excellent.
And calling from Northern California, Ukiah.
Okay, excellent. Thank you for joining us. And Carmen, would you like to just give us the name of your org and where you're calling from?
Hi, this is Carmen Herrera Mancier. I'm calling from Watsonville, California, for work for Pajaro Community Development Corporation.
Okay, excellent. Thank you. So go ahead, Susan. Why don't we go ahead and get started? I'm just, you know, very happy to see such a positive response to our webinar, and I'm going to turn it over to Susan Brown, who is our micro-lending specialist here at Cameo, and take it away, Susan.
Okay. Hi, everybody. It's Susan here. I'm glad you all could make it. We are here. Let me see if I can advance my slide. Let's see if I remember how to do this.
Jean Franklin.
Oh, hi, Jean. How are you? What organization are you with, Jean?
United Job Creation Council, our best, it's the Business Entrepreneurship Stewardship Training Program.
In what city?
Los Angeles.
LA. Okay, thank you.
And Chuck Clendenin.
Oh, hi, Chuck.
Hi. With USDA Rural Development in Davis, California.
Thank you.
Nice to have you, Chuck. Thank you. Yes, yeah, so
also, Liz Randall from Women Impacting Public Policy. I'm calling in from Philadelphia.
Oh, excellent.
Great. Great. Oh, we have a national webinar. How wonderful. Okay, everybody. My name is Susan Brown, and I work with Cameo on their micro-lending program. And we're here to talk about becoming a micro-lender. And this is obviously not an in-depth training. We're just spending an hour today to get the big picture. So let me move the slide on. So let's just let me just jump right in, if that's okay, since we don't have a lot of time, and I want to make sure we have time for questions and dialogue. I'm sure many of you have reasons for why you are interested in starting a lending program. And, you know, I have a few listed on there that there aren't microloan funds near you, perhaps, or you've tried to get microloans from lenders and it just hasn't worked out for you.
or you just feel like you've really got your TA services down and you're ready to expand and be kind of a full-service shop. Just to get people sort of talking here, are there other reasons that you're motivated to sort of think about this and showed up today? I'd be interested to hear from folks.
Well, the reason why I'm on the call is because we have an entrepreneurship program where we partner with West LA Community College. It is actually their entrepreneurship training program, but it's off-site at our community-based organization. And so the entrepreneurship is an 8-week boot camp program focusing on, you know, micro enterprise, those who really have a heart to want to start their own business from the with an idea. So we're focusing on the business plan, and the training is facilitated 4 days a week, all day long for 8 weeks. So at the back end, they'll have their business plan. They know all of the structures and the requirements for starting their own business, doing the market research and all of that good stuff. But the point is the lending, how to identify resources that can help them with any type of micro loans that might be available. So for our organization, for me, it's mainly to get information. And a long-range goal for us, if this is something that we want to do long-range. So it's part of our strategic planning.
I see. Is that you talking, Jean?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, great. Thank you. And just if anyone else wants to answer, just tell us who you are first. Thank you for that, Jean. And anybody else want to share why they're motivated to sort of explore this?
Hi, this is Carmen. So we already have a small loan fund that we manage in collaboration with a local credit union, but there are some restrictions, so not all of our clients are able to access. So we're basically trying to look for different options to have available for our clients.
I see.
We're also hoping to do the SBA micro loan program and maybe the RMAP chuck. So in the future. But we know that, you know, there's a cost for the underwriting, and I mean, the thing that I'm most interested on is learning about the MLS and what is it? The platform.
MMS. Yeah. Yeah. I'll talk about that in just a minute. Great, yeah. So there's a good reason that existing loan programs too restrictive and you're looking for something that maybe fits your client base better. Anybody
mm-hmm.
else want to share why they're here today?
Yeah, I would. This is Jesse.
Hi, Jesse.
Yeah, well, I'm on the board for the Native CDFI. We're an emerging CDFI, our fund is. And so there's just a huge hole in our communities for as far as lack of access to capital. And so we're really trying to, there's one other emerging CDFI, California Indian Manpower Consortium. They have an emerging CDFI also, but anyway, and there's a couple other tribes that are, they're making efforts, but we're just trying to start filling the need or meeting the need and in our, you know, to help with economic development and job development in our communities. So it's really a huge deal to have this going on in Native communities because we've never had anything like this. So we're in one sense we're a lot like we're pioneers, you know, on behalf of our people. So it's pretty exciting. But yeah, I just wanted to get the word out because we're also trying to raise money too. And so if you guys ever hear of any other intermediary lenders or people that are looking for places to put money, we're a good place to look at. So
great.
Anyway.
Thank you, Jesse. Glad you're here. We have time for just maybe one or two more. Would anyone else like to share why they're here today or what their interests are? No? Okay. Well, that, we had got some good reasons there already. So we'll just keep going. And we kind of run these pretty casually, even though we have a big group. So if you have questions as we go along, please please feel free to jump in and just say your name and ask a question at any time. So today is really just an overview. It's really very big picture. We don't have time to get into a lot of detail, but this is kind of what we're going to cover today, that it takes what it takes to become a lender. It takes, obviously, a plan and program design up front. You have to look for lending capital and operating funds. I want to introduce to you guys the micro lending management system. It's a project that Cameo has been sponsoring for, I think, about a year and a half or 2 years now, that can facilitate and make it easier and a smarter way to launch yourself as a micro lender. So we're hoping to interest some of you in considering that. And then we'll talk a little bit about staff capacity and organizational change. So I created a document which we can email out after this webinar and probably put it on our website as well. But it kind of just is an overview of some of the steps. And it had like 25 steps, and it was just too much to fit on slides. So this is really just a very, very shortened version of it. And I kind of broke down to three big chunks to think about when becoming a lender. And the first one is really just figure about why you're doing this, what your goals are, who you want to serve, and how you're going to fund it. So that kind of big planning, funding piece up front. There's micro lending is very specific. It's fairly labor intensive, so it's very good to get very clear on who you want to serve and what you're doing. And then make sure you've got the basic leadership and knowledge and staffing in place and funding that you need to run the program. The sort of second body of work is to actually create a loan product, sort of create your loan product or plural products. Create your loan products, figure out, you know, what kind of lending programs you're going to do, what kind of loans basically you're going to do, how they're going to look, what your eligibility and underwriting criteria is going to be, how people qualify, what is it going to take to qualify, and then also having a really good outreach program. I think a huge part of making a micro loan program work is really having boots in the street and having a very kind of go-getter attitude about going out there and finding deals and finding people who are in the nooks and crannies of the community you want to serve and getting them sort of in your pipeline. And then the final, sort of the third piece of work is sort of what you might call the back office or post-loan kind of stuff. Servicing, which of course just means collecting your money and managing your portfolio. In any loan program, you're bound to have delinquencies and defaults, collateral issues. You need to be feeding information about your portfolio into your organization's accounting system. You know, you might need site visits. There's all kinds of things that happen. There also could be post-loan TA, possibly.
Susan, this is Shufina. I'm just going to interrupt for a second. We're getting a fair amount of very distracting background noise, so I am going to ask folks to go ahead and mute their phones, and then just if you do want to ask a question, feel free to either raise your hand and or unmute your phone and pose the question. But the background's kind of distracting, so
right.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Oh, thanks, everybody. Yeah, and you can also put a question in the chat box. And if that sound doesn't go away, maybe we could just mute everybody. I mean, I hate to do that, but I want people to be able to hear. Anyway, so I have a little more detailed list than that, but that's kind of the basic idea of the steps. So I'm going to just move on here. So obviously, a huge part of becoming a lender. I don't know if Andrew or Shafina, you guys can just mute the group. Is that possible for right now?
Yeah, we'll just go ahead and mute the group because it's really distracting.
Yeah, somebody's on a cell phone or has a cell phone going.
Yeah.
So please raise your hand or put a question in the chat box if you hear something. I'm still hearing the background noise, but anyway. So in terms of lending capital, this is a huge piece of becoming a lender. You've got to find some money to lend. There is both grants, so that's money that you're granted by some entity. It's ideal for higher risk, labor-intensive microloans, because if the deal goes south and something happens, you don't owe anybody any money back. So you don't want grant money. Lending capital is very precious. You certainly don't want to lose it, but it is definitely lower risk money to your organization. You can also borrow loan capital, and these are funds you borrow at a very low rate usually and a very long term. Chuck's organization has some great options like the IRP kind of program. And then you lend it out at a higher rate and shorter term, and there's a kind of a spread there, and you get to keep that revenue usually and then make smaller payments as you go along over time. Generally, people use your debt capital for lower risk deals because it's hard on your organization. If you give someone $10,000 loan and they only pay back $4,000, with this kind of money, you're still on the hook for the other $6,000. So you need a loan loss reserve to be able to cover the risks, but it's money you want to be very careful about lending out. There's lots of sources for loan capital. SBA has money, CDFI fund. There's EQ2 loans from banks. Again, from Chuck's organization, RMAP, IRP, RBAG has some loan sources. HUD and CDBG money is available for some loan capital. And there's also foundations and corporations. So lots of places to get money, maybe not always easy to get, but a lot of our members who are lenders now are CDFIs, as Jesse talked about, and the Treasury basically provides funding to organizations that become CDFIs, so it's community development financial institutions. If you get certified as one, you can get money from the Treasury for your loan capital as well. So those are just some of the loan sources. Okay, obviously you also need funds for operations. Again, microloans, you've got to be out in the street, you know, going to the flea markets, walking up and down Main Street, that kind of thing. So you need a loan officer. We might talk about this a little bit more, but usually somebody with a sales orientation, that kind of salesperson is really ideal for your loan officer, someone who likes to get out there and make things happen out in the street. But you also need some back office staffing. Because you've got to manage these loans once you've made them, and you're collecting. Even if you do it through automatic payments and stuff, there's a lot of management on the back end once you've made loans. If you decide to become a lender and you want to consider the MMS system, the micro lending management system, there are some fees associated with that. So it saves you tons of money in terms of staffing and underwriting and really, I think, strengthens your portfolio tremendously. However, it's not completely free. It's much less than staffing it with people, but it does cost some money. And in terms of kind of the loan servicing and back end, there's organizations like Safe Bidco here in California that provide loan servicing services so that they can do some of your back office stuff. So basically on that bullet, the MMS and loan servicing, you can outsource some of what you need to become a lender. You can outsource some of your underwriting to MMS. You can outsource some of your back office to an organization like Safe Bidco, and you'll be paying a fee, but again, it will be less money than it would cost you to do it yourself, and you're hiring top quality expertise out of the get-go. And not what often happens with new micro lenders is they learn by losing a lot of money up front. So with something like MMS and Safe Bidco, you can have a much higher quality program from the start with a high quality portfolio. But it will be part of your overhead to have those services. Running a lending program clearly takes time from your board, your executive director. You might have a loan committee. You'll have some accounting time and perhaps some technical assistance time too. The other thing is that, again, the
from what I've seen, the organizations that are really knocking microlending out of the park in terms of, certainly in terms of volume and quality, again, have very sales-oriented lenders, loan officers, and they're out in the field with great mobile technology. They are not asking people to do these long, laborious processes. They're saying, let's do an application online. Let me take a picture of your documents and text them into my underwriting team. I mean, they're working out in the field with good mobile technology. It's making it go fast. It's efficient. It keeps your clients in the game. It makes it easy. I think that's a really important investment to make to be successful at this. So let me jump into MMS. MMS is a program created by Axiom Texas, and Cameo is now doing a partnership with them where we have bought a license and can have multiple agencies use our license for this program, which is a cost-effective way to access this program, and, of course, it comes with some training and support from the Cameo team. So where, as you can see, kind of the loan, sort of the whole arc of sort of the loan deal, actually from outreach and pipeline development till closing and servicing here on this slide, and what MMS helps with are all the blue dots. So it helps with the application, risk assessment, document collection, underwriting, and even generates a credit memo that you can use with your loan committee or internal staffing to document the approved deal. And what I would say in my experience of MMS, it's very high quality. It is very fast. It is worlds apart from what most people do in-house on their own in terms of timing and quality. So, and I'll dive in a little bit more about this, and we'll take a little bit of a poll later on. I'd certainly be happy to follow up with anyone who wants more information about this program. We can talk more in depth about it. So how does MMS work? It really allows you to work far more efficiently and with higher quality than on your own. It has automated screening. It sorts deals very, very quickly in terms of those that qualify and are sort of open and shut case versus those who are, there's no way, they don't even come close, to those in the gray area in the middle, how to work with the gray ones in the middle to help get them to yes, so to speak. And as I said, it also provides really, really fast and unreliable underwriting. The Axiom Texas underwriting team is really quite amazing. They underwrite literally thousands of deals a year, and they're very good at it. So you get access to that with MMS. So how does MMS work? It's a three-step process. First, there's an online application. Second, there's something called auto review. It's literally a 5-minute risk assessment to establish eligibility. And third really is the underwriting, where it's about a 2-day turnaround to get your deal fully underwritten. So the auto review, using Axiom Texas has a huge portfolio, and what they've done, which is what now lots and lots of online lenders are doing, is they've used that huge source of data to create a mathematical, algorithmic, automated screening process. And what they do is your client creates an online application. It gets married to their credit report. You push a couple buttons, send it in, and it gets fed through the automated system, and within seconds or at the most minutes, you get a response back, which I'll go over in a minute. And what it does is it measures three things. This first set of screening measures three things. One, does your client have the capacity to repay a loan? They use something called a global cash flow analysis. It's not based just on the business, but on all sources of income in the household. So as long as combined sources of cash in the household are adequate to cover an additional loan payment of whatever, $100 to $500 a month, they get a green light there. It does a scan of their credit report, and if it meets some basic criteria, it's pretty generous criteria, frankly. It's micro-appropriate, in my opinion, on the credit assessment. If your client reaches makes those qualifications, you get a green light there. And then finally, does your borrower's profile match that of successful borrowers in the Axiom Texas portfolio? And that's a whole bunch of disparate data points. That's their secret sauce. We don't know what all those data points are. But basically, they just kind of throw your client's application up against all their thousands and thousands of borrowers and say, does this look like somebody who generally fits the profile of a good repayer? So it measures all three of those things. And then you get your results back. You run it through auto review, you get your results back, and then your agency gets an answer of a green light, meaning that the borrower meets all the measures. Yellow light usually means that your borrower is lacking one measure, and that the most common one is that they've just asked for more money than they can afford. So that's not the only reason to get a yellow, but it's one of them, and it's usually what it means is the loan officer needs to go back to the client and say, can we make your project work for less money? Because you can probably qualify, but just for less. And then a red light really means that your borrower has failed enough measures that they need to kind of go back to the drawing board, clean up their credit, come up with some more cash, you know, do something to be a potential borrower and apply again later. But the good news is usually when you get those reds, you can tell your borrower, your client, exactly problem is. And so you can go back and do some really nice TA with that borrower right afterwards and say, we're going to do some very loan-specific triage here and help you clean up some stuff so that you can become a borrower in the future. So this is great. It's really motivating, I think, for clients to get same-day results. I applied today, I get my answer today. That is a brand-new thing. Didn't exist, really, before MMS and the current sort of online lending situation. So what happens is you get an answer right away, and then the system itself generates what's called a required document list. When your client applies online, they are just, it's self-reported data. So what the underwriting process is really the process of confirming all the data in the application through a variety of things like tax returns, pay stubs, bank statements, you know, and so on, a variety of things like that that are scanned, uploaded into the system, and emailed to the underwriting team. And then that allows the underwriters to confirm everything in the application, make sure the data is accurate, and that the loan is appropriate. And they turn it around in 48 hours. They're quite fast. They review all the documents. Sometimes there needs to be some, often, frankly, there needs to be a little bit of a dialogue between the underwriting department and the loan officer to get everything closed out because there's often questions. But as soon as everything's complete, they underwrite it quickly. They provide the final terms. They provide you, I should say, not a credit report, but a credit memo. It's kind of a mistake there for me. They give you sort of a credit memo, a write-up, so that you've got a document that summarizes the deal. And they're also available for questions, discussion, and consultation, as is Andrew Cole, who I think is on this call. He works for Cameo and is very good at MMS. And he's very good at the software part of it. And then I'm also available for any help with just understanding kind of the bigger picture lending organizational issues.
Susan, this is Shufina, and I just want to, there's been a couple of questions that have popped through. Carmen had asked if the agency needs special certification to run the credit reports, and the answer to that is yes. If you're using MMS, that program runs on, it reads the TransUnion credit reports, and so we typically suggest that organizations work with another organization called Credit Builders Alliance, which will get you set up with TransUnion, and then the TransUnion, your own personal TransUnion code is then sent to MMS, and that's, you know, part of your individual programming. And then the other thing that I just also wanted to mention to everyone, that Dan from USDA had posted to me as well, that just a reminder that the USDA Rural Development recently published NOFAs for the IRP and the RMAP, and that the applications are due June 30th, and Dan is available for questions. And if there's anyone on the call who doesn't know how to reach Dan, please just get in touch with me and I can forward you his contact info. Now back to regularly scheduled programming.
Thank you, Shafina. And thank you, Dan, for mentioning that. That's wonderful news and good timing for people on this call.
Yeah,
and there is more detail to joining CAMEO's MMS program. Like Shafina just started in, there's the TransUnion thing, there's the SARMA thing, and there's some programming that Axiom Texas does, and there's more detail to that, which we'd be happy to share with you. Today we're taking a little bit bigger view, a little bigger bite, and to sort of look at the whole arc, because the truth is, if you haven't been a lender, there's more to it than just MMS. MMS is, you know, if I went back to that slide with the arrows on it, and even this doesn't really have the entire arc of what we're talking about today. But there's things you need to put in place and things you have to line up that go beyond MMS in order to become a lender. So I just really wanted to cover a little bit more today. So once you get a final decision and a credit memo from Axiom Texas, you can proceed with your own closing documents, collateralization, and funding process, and your various servicing and technical assistance activities. And you can also, this is what you can use SafeBidCo for. SafeBidCo is available to provide some of these services for you. And some of our members use SafeBidCo, and I did a little background research, and they've been happy with the service. It's great for us in a startup situation to get help at the back office.
Yes, and this is Shufina again. I also had a question chatted in about somebody wanted the name, again, of SafeBidCo. And so I do want to just say it's SAFE and then BIDCO, BIDCO. And also feel free to reach out to me if you would like additional contact information. But they should be pretty easy to find via Google. So thank you.
Yes. And I actually had a chat with, I'd have to look through my notes. I called SafeBidCo and had a chat with someone, I want to say Kathleen. I'd have to look through my notes to find her full name. There I explained to her what we're doing and talked to her about referring people to her, and they're open for business and ready to work with people. And I know Working Solutions, one of our great success stories in San Francisco, has used them, and I checked with them, and they're happy with SafeBidCo. So, and I couldn't find out if there were other type services in California, but at least I had one, you know, kind of referral that came well recommended. So it's another outsourcing that can really help you get up and running and be professional and clean from the beginning. One reason we recommend both the MMS and something like SafeBidCo or some servicing company, as I went through an assessment process with Kiva a few years ago and found out that it's easy to let it's easy to be running a program without quite enough checks and balances and systems in place, and it can just kind of get you in trouble. So what we're promoting here is to try to get it professional from the start by using some of these services. So in terms of your participation in MMS, we request that all participating members run all their deals through auto review, accept MMS underwriting, and participate in monthly calls for individual and peer learning. Again, there's a little more to this, but just understand that if you decide to check out and participate in our program for MMS, we coach and train everybody, and we ask in turn some of your participation too in some of the ways it works. So that's it. I was actually going to move on to a couple other topics. So I wanted to pause here and just see if there's any other MMS questions. You guys want to unmute people and see?
I had a question. This is Jesse.
Oh, hi, Jesse.
So just, I know you're trying not to get into specifics, but I wasn't totally clear on what type of items would you're recommending using a service like SafeBidCo to do what?
One of the main things they provide is that if you're a lender, you need a portfolio management
software. And they're expensive, I mean really expensive, and they take a lot of training. They take time to set up and run. Ideally, your portfolio management system interfaces with your accounting system. You've got to be able to run reports. You've got to be able to change, go in and change things and run, you know, change terms when you've got delinquencies or something and need to do workouts. It's kind of like your portfolio management system needs to be as clean as your bookkeeping. And it's not something you do on a ledger, you know. So they do a lot of that kind of thing. I think they can help with closing docs. I think they can, they generate reports. I think they can interface with your accounting system and help you. Again, in the best programs, they're importing information from their portfolio management into the organization's general ledger really regularly. Because when you think about it, you could have hundreds of thousands of dollars in your portfolio that's moving around every day between different accounting accounts, depending on whether it becomes a liability or an asset as you lend and get paid back. Ideally, your general ledger in your regular books, your organization, is matching your portfolio really well. So there's a lot of services like that. Now, actually, SafeBidCo does do some underwriting and things like that, too. So they are, they, I know they offer sort of a full range of services. So you could even do underwriting with them. Now, we, of course, would like you to do your underwriting with us because we feel like MMS is a great microloan program and we've worked out the bugs. But they offer a lot of a full range of services.
Well, just real quick, so I'm on another board for the for a county loan fund here in Mendocino County, and we're using Portful, and it seems like it's worked pretty good. So as far as keeping things in line, and it seemed like, of course, I wasn't the one who was doing the work, but I did because I'm part of the executive committee for the organization. I did attend the training, and I looked at what exactly it was, and it seemed pretty, it seemed like it wasn't too hard for us to get a handle on it. So.
Well, good. Yeah, there's Portful, there's Down Home Loan, and there's another one, something like NLS or NSL, or I don't actually remember now what that one stands for. But there's plenty of software out there, so you can do your own, for sure. I think you just have to go research the cost and make sure you have the in-house capacity to run it and manage it and keep it up to date.
Yeah.
And I sometimes I just suggest the outsourcing for startup because the less you have to have internal capacity for, and you can just write a check and say, okay, for $500 a month, instead of paying someone $1,000 or $2,000 a month and having them have a learning curve and have our whole organization have a big learning curve to get up and running, what if we outsource it to get started and then figure out how to bring it in-house?
I see.
Posing that as an idea.
Yeah. Okay.
Susan, it's Shufina again, and I just want to bring forward a couple more comments. I had a request for, you know, what is the cost of MMS, and then I had another comment somebody's commenting. It says, okay, I understand now you want us to use MMS via Cameo. And I'm not sure we want to get exactly into costing today, but just, you know, if, as a global perspective, if you as an organization were to go directly to Axion Texas, I'm not sure what they charge for their platform right now, but 2 years ago it was about $12,000, and then there are monthly fees, and then there are a monthly fee of about $600, and then you also pay for each auto review and underwriting that you do. So, you know, you can kind of do some rough math to fit, to see what that would be. And Cameo has come up with this program where we have licensed the platform, and so we allow our members that participate in this platform to access and use the platform for $4,500, and then we just request reimbursement for your own direct auto review and underwriting costs. And so we cover, you know, the programming to create your own portal and the initial software development and the monthly fees. So I know that's you know, we go through this information in a more detailed webinar for people who are really interested in, you know, implementing the platform. But I just wanted to respond to those 2 points, Sarah and Susan. I don't know if you have anything to
add. So I'm kind of doing the math in my head. Yeah. I think we'd save you about 20, doing it with us, you'd save about maybe $20,000 your first year working through our sort of global license. Mm-hmm. And like I said, we also subsidize a lot of the training and are very hands-on in the training element as well.
Mm-hmm. And I, our position is really that, you know, it's a way for an organization to get started with this type of, you know, highly efficient and outsourced underwriting without that big upfront cost to, you know, buy into the whole program and then discover maybe a year or two later that you don't like it. You know, in our best case scenario, you would go in via the Cameo platform, and then your loan program would be so successful that it would make more sense for you to have your direct license with MMS because, you know, for various reasons. But in that scenario, you would already be trained and comfortable with the platform. And so you would, you know, we would come to that decision together. Or in a not so good case scenario, you would say, well, I tried this for 2 years and, you know, it just doesn't work. And so, you know, we haven't had that happen yet, but, you know, that is, it's a possible outcome, I suppose.
Right. And we did this not because we're making money on it, and we're not. It was because we found our members weren't willing to try it because it was such a big bite right up front.
Yeah,
we're taking the bite out right up front, so you can jump in at, you know, maybe 25% of the cost or something and give it a try and also get our support, do some peer learning, you know, all that, and then perhaps move on to your own license in the future if you're really into it.
Yeah, and as Susan has pointed out, I mean, the financial aspect is part of it, but there's also a big, you know, there's the whole organizational development that has to happen as well. So, and we have another question here. Is asking if you have to be a lending agency to use MMS.
Yes, I think you do at this time because MMS does not come with loan capital. So, at this point, you have to raise your own capital. And one of the things on my more extensive, like, to-do list is, you know, become a California lender and set it up. It is to facilitate a lending program. It does not come with capital. So you do have to have your own. It, like I said, it supports that middle section of the whole process. It doesn't really obviously support the front end, including funding, or the total back end, the servicing end. Okay. Go ahead and keep asking questions.
Either typing them in or just feel free to chime in as well if you'd like to. Yeah.
Anytime. So I'm sort of stepping out of just talking about MMS right now and just going back to what it takes to become a lender if you haven't done it, if you've just been a TA provider. Definitely you have to build some staff capacity, not only in hiring probably at least one more body, I would say, but you need certain kinds of skills. You need someone probably who understands business development. I think, as probably most of you know, it doesn't work very well to hire people who don't have a background in business ownership and training. As I said before, someone who's a deal maker is a great kind of personality profile to hire as your loan officer. So that they're out, they're anxious, they have that inner drive to go out there and make deals happen and build the pipeline. Your staff does need underwriting basics. If you've been a TA-led organization, you might not really have all your underwriting skills. MMS augments it tremendously, but it doesn't replace it altogether. So, and one of the things we're doing at Cameo is offering some training in that regard, and we can offer more. But, yeah, people have to have at least the ABCs of underwriting. You certainly need to understand the back end and how to service a loan and maintain your deals once you've made them and have some capacity for restructuring every portfolio. Some deals run into issues, and you have clients who aren't making payments. The best loan managers I've seen really get very close to their borrowers and have very intimate, regular conversations when they're
borrowers get in trouble to try to keep those payments coming in and figuring out how to make that work. And then, of course, you need portfolio management and accounting capacity. And probably not all these skills in one person. Your back-end sort of person is a little bit more of a bean counter. Your loan officer is more of a go-getter, sales, you know, extrovert kind of person. So that's one thing to think about if you're a director thinking about this, is you need some different personality profiles, I think, to make this work. The other thing I wanted to mention is there is some organizational change. In traditional technical assistance, you have a long sort of getting to know you process where staff and clients get close. Again, and if you've just been a TA organization, I think it's a common mistake for a TA organization to think that they're a good TA client is the same thing as a good borrowing client, and they're not necessarily. So it's easy to get attached to your technical assistance client, and the one who really did their entire business plan and this and that is the one you want to loan to, and then you go and find they have a horrific credit report or something like that, or have really no cash capacity. It takes some change and some training and some new getting to look at clients with new eyes to become a lender. And it's not the same as the TAIs. And while character, you can always overwrite it. If you're using MMS, you can always overwrite a loan and just make it anyway. But you have to be really clear about when and why you want to do that. And I think that's the change. I know a lot of TA organizations get a little irritated with lenders when they get their clients get turned down. So I think there's sort of like, again, new eyes and new knowledge to bring to the table when you become a lender. To use MMS to its fullest, for example, it's great to integrate the system into staffing expectations and client interface to help you work faster. MMS creates scale but does cut some clients out of the process. Again, if they have very bad credit or very bad cash flow, those folks aren't going to qualify. So you want to come up with a plan ahead of time for how do you help the clients to become loan ready who do get turned down by the system. There really needs to be commitment, I think, to become a lender. Directors have to have a desire for growth and increased efficiency and to provide hands-on leadership for change and hopefully have a plan ahead of time for how to orchestrate some of the organizational change and then also, you know, figure it out as you go along. There could be, again, new roles and new procedures for staff. That there's always a transition there. People, as I'm sure, all of you who manage folks, I'm sure know that everyone responds to change differently, and it's good to just be aware of that ahead of time and come up with a little bit of a plan for it. The one of the other reasons, I'm going to close with just two more slides. One other reason that we're pushing MMS is because the microlending industry is changing radically online right now as we speak. Huge numbers of lenders jumping into the field with these online automated lending systems that are very fast, very automated, and unfortunately some of them have usurious rates. Some of them can, and the rates are very hard to figure out, and it's a challenging environment, but it is fast, and it's becoming the new norm to have an online, quick turnaround, get your money in a week kind of thing. So we really want to help people understand that doing kind of the old-fashioned way where you sit down with a spreadsheet and take a month or two to figure out whether you're going to do the deal or not is just going to, if you don't already look like a dinosaur doing it that way, you will soon. So MMS is one way to stay competitive, to stay current with the new norms that are happening online. So anyways, it's just, as I said, there's all kinds of things happening online. We can talk about this in more detail, but we all need to sort of change to stay in the game and look relevant. I think it was one of our existing MMS users who said, you know, borrowers are coming to us before we used MMS saying, thanks but no thanks, because I know I can get my money faster elsewhere. So it feels as though even though automation, there's some issues with it, it's the new reality. So like when people tell you if you have a teenager that you're supposed to limit their access to the Internet, it's like, you have got to be kidding. I mean, I have two teenagers. Like, it is the new way we live. So things have changed, and we're all trying to step up to the plate, and Cameo's MMS program is just a service we provide to help everybody join in and be part of that. So we have time to take more questions. I also was wondering if you guys could fill out this poll for us. If you want more information about becoming a microlender or just have another discussion, or you think you might want to hear more about MMS, if you could type in where you're at right now and if we can get back to you and answer questions. I also want to mention that I am available to Cameo members for some one-on-one assistance with this. This is one of the member benefits. I can work individually with members in sort of a consulting relationship as part of your membership to help you get started, or to facilitate some meetings or do some planning or talk to your board or something like that. So if you don't mind kind of letting us know what your current thinking is and what you might like to have a conversation about next, I'd love to have you guys fill this in and submit it to us. And I'm here to answer more questions or entertain any other comments.
Yeah, I had a question. How long has the MMS program been used, and what is the default rate?
I think Axiom Texas has been using it like 8 or 10 years or something like that. They've had it a long time, and their default rate is only about, I think, 5%.
Only 5%? Wow.
Yeah, it's very good.
And
what we found with our existing lenders who came to use it is they found that the tendency of the MMS program, once you start using it, is you do more deals at a slightly lower amount. So what the nature of MMS is to start people off, I think, at a lower amount than they might initially have wanted, or that a non-MMS user might start a borrower at. So you're doing more deals, and your average deal rate might be $15,000 rather than $25,000 or $30,000, something like that. And MMS does deals from, I think it's 0 to 50,000, or is it 5,000 to 50,000? It tops out right now at 50,000, so, which is the definition of a microloan. And I don't know how much a Cameo membership is for an organization. Shufina, what is a Cameo membership?
It's based on your budget. It's usually $250 or $350, depending on if your organizational budget is over 500,000 or under.
Okay.
Yeah, and I can't remember, Andrew, if when people write out their answers, if we get a name associated with it. I want to be able to call people back if necessary. If you can just add your name, maybe, if you're filling out this thing. Just so I know actually who to get back to. That would be helpful. Do you know, Shufina, if the answer to this poll associates it with a participant, so we know who to get back to?
I'm not sure. So if you could just put your name in as well, because I just responded and I just got my response with no name. So
okay, so I'm sorry. If you could add, if you don't mind adding your name to this, and if you want to. And I just looked through my notes. Kathy Alexander is the person I spoke to at Safe Bidco. So she said, that they have general loan fund management services of all kinds. They're happy to meet with you and customize their services to your needs. She said there is a fee for setting the system up, and then there's a monthly fee depending on what your volume and package of services is. All right. Well, I hope you guys will be willing to fill out this poll. I'd love to get some feedback from all of you about what your needs are, what additional conversations or information you need. Just include your name and number if you don't mind, and that would be very helpful.
I see Charity, you wrote in the chat box there, yes, that you want more information about MMS. I'm happy to, I'll put a star by your name here. Charity, thank you very much. And we will schedule either another webinar or just be calling people individually if, depending on the responses we get for this, and help people move along with whatever their plans are for lending. We're trying to grow the micro lenders in the state. I'd love it if some of you would jump in. And thank you for our funders for joining the call.
Thank you.
Thank you, Carmen.
Thank you, everyone.
Thanks.
Somebody had a question from Carmen, actually, if we'll be sharing the PowerPoint. Sure, we can. We can send it along to anyone who would like. And we generally have these things available also on our website for download too. So,
and
we are recording the call.
Right, and I do have Shufina. A little more detailed steps for becoming a micro lender document is also available if people want that to help them with their planning. And it looks like Carmen would like to get it, so I don't know if we can email that out to everybody
Okay.
on the call.
Sure.
All right, I think we're done. It sounds like we're done with all the questions. And, you know, Shufina, I'm hoping you can capture the responses. Andrew seemed to think we could.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
I'll just do the beautiful cut and paste, if that works.
However
we have to do, yes. Okay.
That would
Great.
Be wonderful.
Okay. Great. Well, thank you, everybody.
Yes, thank you, and I'll just sign out, okay?
Okay, very good. Thanks, everyone. Bye.
Bye-bye now.
Thank you.
Bye.